Turn your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 14, the very first book of our Bible, Genesis chapter 14. We'll be reading verses 17 through 20 this morning. I'll read the odd verses of 17 and 19, if you'll please join me on verses 18 and 20. And if you found Genesis chapter 14, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. Again, Genesis chapter 14, beginning in verse number 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Sodom, brought forth bread and wine, and he was with the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And let's pray this morning. Father, thank you again for the reading of your word. I do pray you bless the special, preparing our hearts for the message. Father, we need you. Thank you for, as we've sang, salvation. Thank you so much for that. How you provided that gift, that free gift for us. Bless again the special. In your name we pray. Amen.
In holy pages this truth can be found, a promise to stand on when darkness abounds. Right never loses, and wrong never wins, and grace will always be greater than sin. Grace will always be greater than sin. Calvary has proven it time and again. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, God's grace will always be greater than sin. Broken and bruised from the choices you've made, sin has a price tag, so often you've paid. But Jesus is waiting, your hope is in Him. Grace will always be greater than sin.
Grace will always be greater than sin. Calvary has proven it time and again. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, God's grace will always be greater than sin.
Wonderful. Boy, I tell you, it's amazing. It seems like the Lord kind of put a theme together this morning in the music, didn't He? And we don't choose songs based on what everybody else is singing. And God just does that. And the song the choir sang, with the song the ladies played, and now the opening song of the service and this special. Phew, I believe I've been blessed already this morning and helped. Amen. Absolutely. Wouldn't want to miss church. Wouldn't want to. Unless I was sick. We were in church last Sunday. And I'll tell you what, it was dry. Oh, my goodness, it was dry. But I'm glad to be back where there's a little life. Amen. So God bless you. for your singing today and the spirit of the service. I want to preach on the valley of whatever it is, Shava. Okay, the valley of Shava there, Shaveh. I'm probably going to give a little of attention in the next few Sundays to valleys in the Bible, and here's the first mention of the word valley in the Bible is right here. First time it's used. And that's always an important time whenever it's first mentioned in the Scripture. So let's pray, and we'll jump into this and try to be a blessing and trust the Lord to help us today. Our Father, we have a great book because it's your book. No other book like it. It has life. It brings life. It gives life. It's alive. And I pray that you'll help us today, Lord. May we get something from this book, from the words of this book, that will encourage us and help us. And Lord, speak to our hearts. I pray again that you'll meet the need of every person here, no matter what that need may be. And through the Spirit, we can expect that to happen. Ask Him to do it through His power. And Jesus, we lift you up today and pray for you to be exalted. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. You can probably remember a time when you were completely spent after an exhausting endeavor of some sort, mentally or physically or emotionally. You went through some battle and the aftermath left you spent. You were tired, you were exhausted, you were weak. And that can happen for any number of reasons. I was with this family yesterday and you could just see, you know, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. but you could just see that by the end of the day, they're just spent. The emotions of being in an accident of that magnitude and everybody living. They got T-boned by a Suburban, I think, or I forget what it was. And it was incredible. And just the aftermath, you know, so now, boy, through all of that, you're spent. Absolutely spent. You don't go through battles without spending energy. You don't go through battles without spending strength and endurance, and you're kind of left spent. We use that terminology. I'm spent. I'm exhausted. I'm weak. I'm tired. You can kind of understand how Abraham must have felt after engaging King Chedorlaomer and three other kings in battle. Now, that's maybe, I hope, the last time I have to pronounce that name, okay, in verse 17. But anyway, that's his name, Chedorlaomer. And Brother Mike tried to make a female call him Katie, I think, but it's Chedorlaomer, okay? And three other kings with their armies joined with this king. So, in essence, you got a four-king army here. You got a four-nation army. And they engaged in a battle with Abraham. Abraham took them on, the Bible tells us, with 318 of his own trained and armed servants. Because there was no Hillary Clinton around in those days, and you know, and others that would take a gun out of their hands. So they trained them and they armed them and taught them how to defend themselves, kind of like we have the right to do here in our country. Boy, now, you get sidetracked on these, you know, these things, but you know. So here they are. Now this here's what happened. This four-king army, they took on and fought against the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and two or three other countries. And this four-king army, Chedorlaomer and his pals, they won. And they took a lot of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah captive. They got a lot of spoil, a lot of goods. One of the people that they took captive from Sodom and Gomorrah was Lot, Abraham's nephew. So that's why when Abraham heard about it, his nephew's been carried away and his family carried away captive. He got his 318 armed and trained servants. And they got organized and divided up into groups. And the Bible says they went by night and they pursued this army and they caught this army and they defeated this army. So they've been engaged in battle. And in doing so, they recovered all the people and they recovered all of the stuff. That's pretty much a solid victory. They didn't lose anybody. Recovered all the people, recovered all the stuff. And so now, you get to the passage we read here. Abraham and his men they're returning back home, and Abraham had to pass through this valley of Shava. And in the valley of Shava, the king of Sodom would meet him. We can see that in verse number 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram. And so I think the king of Sodom went to Abram to thank him, And listen to this, because this is kind of the crux of the message. To even up with Abraham. Now, if somebody took their armed and trained servants and went out and defeated an army that took your people captive and took your stuff captive, you probably feel like you would owe them a debt, right? So the king of Sodom comes out to meet Abraham in this valley, and the valley of Shavah, and that's what Shavah means. The name means to equal, to make equal, or equality. So that's what the king of Sodom attempted to do. He came out to meet with Abraham, and he attempted to even up with him. Man, I owe you something. And so he says to him in verse number 21, he said, you know what, just give me the people and you keep all the goods for yourself. You know, I appreciate what you did here, and I know it cost you some time, and it cost you some energy, and it cost you some manpower, and it cost you some strength, and it cost you some effort. So I want to make this right with you. Just give me all the people and you take all the goods for yourself. Now, Abraham would not do it. In fact, he told the man, he said, look, I've already promised God I wouldn't even take a thread from a shoe latch from you. And he had his reasons for doing that, folks. Don't forget that the Bible says the men of Sodom, the people of Sodom, were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Remember that? That's in chapter 13. So get the picture. Here comes Abraham, and his army, his 318 guys. They're coming back. They've recovered all the people. They've recovered all the goods. They're returning through the valley of Shavah, and the king of Sodom comes out to meet him and says, hey, I want to even up with you. I want to equal with you. Give me the people, and you take the goods, and thank you for your effort. And Abraham says, no, I don't need anything. He did say this. He said, you know what? At least let me replenish the food that I used. The food that I used, and these men are going to need food. They get back home, they're going to need food. So let me just give me some of the food, and I'm happy with that. That's the only thing that he took from the king of Sodom was some food. Now, there's something very notable that takes place in the valley of Shavah, the valley of equality, that happened before Abraham met the king of Sodom. Okay? So, you got Abraham returning, valley of Shavah. You've got king of Sodom. They have a meeting. But before they met, Abraham had a previous encounter. The Bible tells us in verse number 18 that he met Melchizedek. This Melchizedek met with Abraham. Say, who is Melchizedek? Well, without going into a deep, in-depth study, because we don't have time, and there is some debate about Melchizedek, but I believe Melchizedek was an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. It's what we call a Christophany. That's a big term. You don't even need to know it, but that's what it's called. Now, remember, before Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger, right? Happens in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels, okay? Before then, okay, this is way back in Genesis. Folks, Jesus Christ, in the beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus did not begin to exist in Bethlehem's manger. Jesus has always existed. It's part of the Godhead. Part of the Godhead. And so, he makes an appearance. Now, there are several reasons why. Hebrews 7, you'd like to make a note. Read Hebrews 7, sometimes talks about this man Melchizedek. But I see three things here in verse number 18 that indicate to me that this is Jesus Christ. First of all, verse number 18 says that Melchizedek was king of Salem. You know what Salem means? Salem means complete or perfect peace. Complete or perfect peace. There is only one being, only one person who is king of complete or perfect peace, and that's Jesus Christ. Only one. Okay? I'm hurrying through this because I got to get to the body of the message. Then it says in verse 18 that Melchizedek, who was king of peace, he brought forth bread and wine. Bread and wine, the fresh juice of the grape. Now, can you think of anywhere, anything that a New Testament church does in relationship to bread and juice? Lord's Supper, right? And the bread and juice symbolize what? The body and blood of Jesus Christ. So here Melchizedek, he's the king of peace. There's only one that's the king of complete and perfect peace, and that's Jesus. He comes with bread and fresh fruit of the vine juice, grape juice, evidently, maybe some other juice, and only Jesus is in that great picture of the body and blood of Christ. Look at verse number 18. It also says that he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, he's the priest of the Most High God. He is, what's a priest, folks? He's a go-between. And Jesus is the high priest. He is the mediator, the go-between, between who? Between God and men. Now, I believe Melchizedek was a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. Now, look, you can go online and you can research this and you can find debate on this issue, but I want to say something to you. Be careful about letting an internet figure be your pastor. Yeah, you don't know him, folks. You don't know what he's like. Come on. And we got this happening today. We have members of churches whose pastor is really somewhere else. He's an internet pastor. He's a blog pastor. You know, they don't know him. They don't know his family. They don't know what he's like. But he's, you know, he's got a way with words, and he's kind of interesting. And you'll start building doctrine. You know, I'm not saying that I cannot be mistaken. I cannot be wrong. I can be. I have been in the past. I can stand to be corrected if need be. And if I'm wrong on this, I would freely admit it. And if somebody should prove to me from the Bible, but I believe this was an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. Okay, Melchizedek. You read Hebrews 7. And the Bible says in Hebrews 7 that he was without descent. He had no father nor mother. Well, it's either got to be Jesus or Adam. I don't think it's Adam. Adam's been dead. Okay? So get the picture. Before Abraham meets the king of Sodom, he meets Melchizedek in the valley of Shavah. Equal up. Equal up. Make equal. Equality. And when he gets to Sodom, when he gets to the king of Sodom, and the king of Sodom says, I want you to have all this stuff. Abraham says, no need. I don't need it. Don't want anything. Don't need anything. I've already been leveled up. It's okay. Now let me make some observations here, maybe draw this all together, and maybe get our hearts helped a little bit this morning. Number one, I want you to see that Melchizedek met Abraham in the valley. In the valley of Shavah. Now Hebrews 7:1 tells us that Melchizedek met Abraham there as well. But listen, neither Hebrews 7 or Genesis 14 indicate that Melchizedek traveled there. So you got Abraham was walking home through the valley after, watch it now, an exhausting battle. An exhausting battle. I mean, the odds were not in his favor. The odds were against him. 318 men against four armies. So he's gone. He's won this exhausting battle. He's walking home. He's walking through the valley of Shavah. And Melchizedek, Jesus Christ, meets him there. Now, that ought not surprise us. Because over in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse number 1, the bridegroom is speaking, and the bridegroom is a picture of Jesus Christ. And this is what the bridegroom says, I am the lily of the valleys. I love those words. I am the lily, singular, of the valleys, plural. No matter what kind of valley you or I are going through in life, we can rest assured that somewhere in that valley, Jesus is going to find us. Jesus is going to find us. By the way, Abraham did not find Jesus. Jesus found Abraham. And I'm just simply saying to you, church, this morning, no doubt there are people, there are times when people in this room go through valleys, when we go through valleys and we feel all alone, and we feel exhausted, and we feel depleted, and we feel energyless. And you know what? When you get in one of those valleys, by faith, we need to lift our eyes and look for Jesus, because He's going to meet us in that valley. He said He would. Now, we're not going to see Him as Abraham saw Him. We're not going to see Him face to face, because Abraham didn't have a what? Didn't have a Bible. So Abraham's faith was by sight. Our faith is not by sight. Our faith is what's been revealed in this book right here. And when you get in a valley and you're exhausted and you're tired and you're depleted and you're out of energy, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, physically, no matter what it is, mentally, when you get in one of those valleys, and you know you need Jesus to meet up with you, you know the best place to look for Jesus and Jesus to look for you in the valley is in this book right here. That's why you need to be faithful to read the Word of God, even when you don't feel like it. Because when you're in the valley, a lot of times you don't want to read the Bible. It's like, But that's the time you need it the most. You'll find Jesus in this book. And Jesus will use something in the Word of God to help strengthen you and encourage you. Sometimes Jesus meets us in the valley through a song. Sometimes Jesus meets us in the valley through another person. But friend, make no mistake about it. Jesus meets us in the valleys of life. He meets us in the valleys of life. Now, I don't know who in this room this morning is going through a valley and who's not. If you're not going through one this morning, you probably have been through one in the past. And if you're not going, if you have not been through one in the past yet, guess what? It's coming. Because no Christian traverses this life without going over mountaintops and valleys. Both. But when you're in the valley and you're depleted and you're out of energy and your resources are gone, just remember that Jesus meets us in the valley. He meets us in the valley. Now, number two, I want you to see that Melchizedek met Abraham in the valley of Shavah. So that's a specific valley. Not just a generic valley. This is a specific valley. And remember that Shava means to make equal. The valley of equality. I'm saying again, Abraham had been in a battle. He had spent himself. His people. He had spent his money. He had spent his time. He had spent his provisions. And when Melchizedek met Abraham, the Bible says in verse number 19 that he blessed him. And by the way, folks, remember this. The reason that Abraham was gone was to look for his nephew Lot. Lot had separated from him and turned his head towards Sodom. And you know what the truth of the matter is? Even after Abraham went after him and rescued him, Lot went back to Sodom. Now think about that for a minute. You spend your time, your resources, your effort, your endurance, your strength to rescue somebody who really, in the end, don't care. Didn't help you at all. Didn't benefit you at all. So here comes Abraham. He is exhausted. Now, we're not told what that means exactly, that Melchizedek blessed him, that Jesus blessed him. But friend, this is what I want you to see. Whatever Melchizedek did for Abraham, the Bible says that he blessed him. And when Abraham later on in the same valley, this is the critical part of the message. Later on in the same valley, when Abraham met the king of Sodom, he didn't want anything the king of Sodom could offer, and he didn't need anything the king of Sodom could offer. You know why? He'd already met with Christ. And Christ equaled it up. Christ brought it up. Whatever Abraham had spent, whatever Abraham had invested physically, emotionally, mentally in the battle, Melchizedek more than made it up. More than made it up when he met with Abraham. Abraham came from the battle depleted, but Jesus evened up with him in the valley of equality. And friend, that's how it is for you and me. Because listen, God is not going to be a debtor to any man. God always gives more to us than He takes from us. Serving God may cost us. Serving God may cost us time, may cost us effort, may cost us energy, may even cost money. God does sometimes serving God cost, but God will never be in debt to His people. Somehow, some way, God always evens up whatever you and I have given out. Does that make sense to you all? Okay. That's not how the world does it. The world is a consumer. God's not a consumer. The world takes and 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 never gives back. Brother, whatever we give to God, I'm not talking about just money, whatever we invest for God, God gives back because God is not a consumer. I don't know what happened in that valley when Melchizedek met Abraham. The Bible just says that Melchizedek blessed him. Blessed him. And you know, some people, you know, it's hard to put it in words, folks. It sounds so generic to get blessed. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've ever been in a valley and you have Jesus find you and He blesses you, you know what that's talking about. You know what that's talking about. And some people, they want it in words, and they want it in sentences and paragraphs and chapters, and explain this to me. And there are some things, friend, about what God does for His people that are unexplainable. But I'm going to tell you this, God always evens up and more so. Always evens up and more so. The aftermath of a battle, listen carefully, the aftermath of a battle is always dangerous, because usually after a battle, even if you're the victor, you go down into a valley because you're depleted. Does that make sense to you? You're spent. That's a very dangerous time. When you're spent, when you're exhausted, when you're weak, when you're tired, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, when you're give out and you're in the valley, it's very dangerous. And what some people do is turn to the world for replenishment. And I will tell you, whatever the world has to offer you is not going to work. Not going to work. But oh boy, oh boy. What Jesus brings to the table, friend, it's peace, it's strength, it's joy, it's some kind of blessing. I can't put words to it. I just know if you are in a valley today, for whatever reason, you look for Jesus, and Jesus will meet you there. And when He does, He will replenish, He will even up, He will equalize your soul. Your soul will be restored in the valley. I can think of times in recent past and in distant past when I found myself in the valley, spent. Spent. And in the valley, through a scripture, through a song, through a friend, through a family member, through a message that I heard, but somewhere, through something in that valley, Jesus found me. And boy, oh boy, He more than equaled up the deficit my soul was experiencing. There's something about the blessing that Jesus gives you in the valley. It's huge. I love the song. We don't sing it much anymore. It was real popular when I was first saved. I think Dottie Rambo wrote it. And He leads us beside still waters. Somewhere in the valley below, He draws me aside to be tested and tried. And in the valley, He restoreth my soul. They don't make a casino that can do that. Well, I won. Mm-hmm. And the next time, you probably will lose. They don't make a liquor bottle that can restore your soul. They don't make a drug that can restore your soul. They don't make another man or a woman to whom you're not married that can restore your soul. And that's what happens. People hit the valley, spent, exhausted, weak, tired, just drained, and they start looking for something that the king of Sodom has to offer to restore the soul. But brother, I will tell you something. You get with Jesus in the valley. When Jesus gets with you in the valley, you're not going to need a shoelace from the king of Sodom. That's reality, folks. I'm not talking about a pie-in-the-sky type fanatical build your... I'm talking about serious reality. When you're in the valley and Jesus meets with you and you're spent, brother, He equalizes. The valley of Shava, He equalizes. He brings it up. He restores you, and even more, you leave that valley almost in better shape than you went into it. No doubt about it. Because that's what Jesus is like. Now, I want to say this morning. Listen very carefully. In the valley of Shava, number three here, in the valley of Shava, Melchizedek was God's go-between. Because it's very interesting. Look what it says here in verse number 19. He says, and he blessed him. So Melchizedek, Jesus Christ, blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And then look at verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. So when Melchizedek met Abraham, he blessed Abraham. He turned right around and blessed God. Kind of sounds like Melchizedek is working for both parties. Right? He blesses Abraham, then he blesses God. He said, boy, God bless you, Abraham. He sure has helped you, and boy, thank you. God bless you, and I hope you know, the war you won, the victory you won. Blessed be God who gave you the victory. Boy, bless you too, Lord, for giving Abraham the strength. And he kind of goes both ways. But that's, folks, that's what a mediator does. A mediator takes two people and brings them together. Are you with me? Okay. Now listen. In the valley of Shavah, Jesus still stands between God and people today. The only way, in fact, folks, the only way things can be evened up between God and man is through Jesus Christ. The way Jesus evens up between God and man is through the bread and wine. Through His body and His blood. Through salvation. Through His death, burial, and resurrection, which is the power of God unto salvation. You see, when man comes into this world, man is at a conflict with God. If I could let Brother Mike stand here on this side and represent God the Father, and I'll be Jesus Christ. Come on here, and Brother Luke, you stand here, and we'll let Luke represent the sinner, because that's a good representation of a sinner. And a poor representation of God the Father, and even poorer representation of Jesus Christ. But we're the best you got this morning, okay? So, there's conflict here. God cannot go to man, and man cannot go to God, because there's something bad, bad wrong with man. What's it called? Sin. So sin stands between God and man. And Jesus Christ, in the interest of both parties, comes to this earth, dies on an old rugged cross, sheds His blood, is buried 3 days and three nights later. He comes back from the grave. He's alive, and through His death, burial, and resurrection, now salvation is made possible for that sinful person. And when that person turns his eyes to Jesus and receives Christ Jesus by faith, and by repentance and faith, coming to Him to be saved, then he takes the hand of Jesus, and Jesus takes the hand of God, and these two are reconciled with each other. Man's equaled up. Better believe it. Better believe hallelujah. And by the way, that little transaction right there is what those songs have been about today. I stand amazed. I stand amazed. I'm still amazed. I'm still amazed that Jesus Christ would come and go to the cross and die for me so that He could take me by the hand and God and reconcile, equal up, put me back in relationship with God Almighty. Still amazed. Still amazed. The Valley of Shavah. Equal up. Are you in the valley this morning? Are you saved and in the valley? Are you spent? You're tired, exhausted, discouraged, depleted of resources and energy. I'm not talking financially. I'm talking about in your soul. Be careful. King of Sodom is going to show up and offer you the world. The world has nothing to offer. Oh, you might have a little fun for a while, enjoy a few things, you know. Ha ha, hee hee. It's gone. The Prince of Peace, complete and perfect peace, will take you and meet with you, and He'll even up. He'll restore you. He'll replenish you. He'll take care of it. Just wait on Him. He'll be there. Wait on Him. And if you're not saved, if you think that some baptistry or some church membership has put you back together with God, friend, there's only one who can put you back together with God, and His name is Christ Jesus, and it's through His death, burial, and resurrection, and you can be brought back to fellowship with God, and heaven is your home for all eternity. Because Christ, the mediator, is the great equalizer. Does that make sense to you all today? Man, I've been thinking about that this week. Glory to God. The Valley of Shavuot, the place of making equal, equalizing. When you get in the valley, you look for Jesus. He'll be there. He'll be there. Just wait for Him. Don't turn to the king of Sodom. Don't take anything from him. Wait for the Lord Jesus. And if you're not saved, let Jesus put you back into relationship with God today. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, your book is so wonderful. It's rich. It's just great. I wish I had the tongue of angels, Lord, to preach the truths of this book like they should be preached. But Holy Spirit, that's where you make up the deficit for us and you help us. And I pray that you'll help the people this morning speak to hearts all over the room. Lord, help us today, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Can you listen and pay attention with your head bowed and eyes closed just for a second? Just ask a couple of questions. I wonder, if there's somebody here today, say, Pastor, I'm in the valley. Been in one, just got into one. I'm spent emotionally, physically, mentally, in some way, shape, or form. I'm spent. And this was a help for me. I'm not going to turn to the world by God's grace. I'm going to be looking for Jesus. I believe He'll show up like He did Abraham. And He'll replenish. He'll make it all equal. I just need to wait on Him. But pray for me. This helped me this morning. Would you slip your hand in the air today if that's you? Just be honest about it. God bless you. I see your hands. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else? The balcony too. I saw some hands there. God bless you. Father, I pray for folks that are in the valley. It's no fun. It's not an enjoyable place. It's part of life. And I pray, God, that You'll help us to be patient. Wait for Jesus. He'll be there. And when He comes, He'll meet with us. He'll bless us. He'll help us. He'll restore what we've spent. He'll bless these dear folks, and I pray that You'll help them today. And then, Lord, I pray that You'll restore when You do all that's been replenished, all that's been put forth. Help them today. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder who would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know I would go to heaven. I am in relationship with God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He's my Savior. I know it. I'm a born-again child of God, and it's settled in my heart. If you can say that, would you slip your hand up this morning and be honest about it? Thank you. Take your hands down. If you could not say that, I'd like to just have a closing prayer, not for you by name, but I'd like to ask God to speak to your heart. Pastor Angel, I don't know if I'm headed to heaven or hell. I don't know if I've been squared up with God because of my sin. I don't know. I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago, but I'll raise it now. Please pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up? Let me pray for you this morning. You don't know that you're saved. Don't know that you're on your way to heaven. Side to side, back to front. Anybody like that here today? Member or visitor, doesn't matter. Man, woman, boy, girl, balcony, bottom floor. I'm not saved. I don't know that I'm saved. There's no assurance in my heart that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here today? I want to pray for you when I close. If you're not sure that you're saved, you're a little nervous about raising your hand, I understand that. But friend, I would not leave here this morning if the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. And it's different, I know. A lot of churches don't do an invitation. But if you're not sure that you're saved, you look up one of the people sitting in the pew with you or one of these men or myself after the service. We'll be happy to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. That's what I got saved at the end of a service in 1975. Somebody show me from a Bible how to be saved. If you're not saved, I hope that you'll turn to Christ today and be evened up with God. Father in heaven, bless, I pray, the invitation to our hearts this morning. Speak to us. Help us, Lord, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you've been saved and not baptized, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and that's available as well this morning. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. Would you want to come today? You raised your hand that God spoke to your heart. You step out and come. You obey the Lord. You're in the valley today. A little bit depleted. You need that meeting with Melchizedek. You come this morning.